is clean out your refrigerator day. And that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. I am not sure how November the 15th got such an auspicious designation, but I am sure it's a good idea. We should periodically take time to sort out our refrigerators, and that is also true of our spiritual lives as well. If you've ever searched your refrigerator, you have come up to one of these terrible experiences that I have come up to, and that is I will have either a Cool Whip container or one of those other containers, and I'll think it's Cool Whip, and I'll pull the top off and discover it's Hot Dish that's been in there for a month or more. And then I'll just take a spoon and start. No, I'm... Throw it in the microwave. There you go. And then there are other times when that cheese that you have in the bottom drawer that's gotten kind of lost, and you notice that it's no longer yellow, but it's kind of white and fuzzy and green and blue and all kinds of colors, and you decide that might not be something you want to eat. You've had that experience. Or have you noticed the mayo or the Miracle Whip? And you open the top of it, and there's kind of a crust over the top of it, and you realize that it's been in there 5 years. Or the bottle of salad dressing that has 3 tablespoons, and you really honestly don't know how long it's been in there. It may have been from the last century. You never know how many things that you could have in there. At one time in our refrigerator, we had 4 partial bottles of ketchup. And it was like, why do we have 4 partial bottles of ketchup in our refrigerator? But I've done that. There's some pickles I know that have been in there over a year. So we probably are due for a clean out your refrigerator day. This happened to me actually since we've been here. I hate to admit to it, but we had half and half in our refrigerator. And I thought, you know, it's been in there. It's good. It's good. And so we had people over for something, and I'd made up coffee, and I was going to serve them coffee, and I poured out the half and half, and it went glop, glop, glop. And I went, oh boy, this is not a good experience. I probably needed to clean out that refrigerator. Christian life requires that we periodically clean out the dross of living and move forward in our faith. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand. I pray that you will anoint me to speak those words that your people need to hear this day, in Jesus' name. Here's a video about National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. You never know what you'll find in your refrigerator if you don't clean it out. So it's important to get that cleaned out. Preservation of food is one of the most vexing problems that we have in human history. How do you keep food? We salt it, we preserve it, we dry it, we do all kinds of different things with it. One of the foods that seems to be almost indestructible, believe it or not, is honey. In the early part of the 1900s, they discovered King Tut's tomb. When they opened it up, and that little black and white picture up there on the top has two little jars inside that box, that was found in King Tut's tomb. That contained honey. Those two pots contained honey. King Tut did not eat it on his way to the afterlife. Okay? So it was still there, and it was still edible after over 3,000 years. Just recently, a gravesite was discovered in the country of Georgia in Eastern Europe. It was a noble woman, and she had lived over 5,000 years ago. In her tomb, they found pots that had contained honey. There were just a few tablespoons of honey left, but when they analyzed it, it was still edible. She must have eaten it on her way out. Actually, they had run a plow or something through the grave at one time and it wrecked quite a bit of the grave. But the point is, honey is basically indestructible as a food item. So if you want to have something that's completely indestructible, honey is it. Okay? So you can preserve that forever without any concerns. This particular picture is of Julie Ruttinger. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Her great-great-grandmother in 1878, Fidelia Ford, baked a fruit cake. That is the actual fruit cake. And that picture was taken in 2019 when the fruit cake was 141 years old. It was still edible. I can't imagine why, but it was still, well, a lot of rum. it is a family heirloom. Their great-great-great-grandmother died shortly after she made this fruit cake, and so the family kept it as an heirloom. In 2003, her grandfather wrote to Jay Leno, who had a segment on fruitcake, and said that they had this fruitcake and offered to let him taste a piece of it. And he did on air in 2003. He didn't die, which surprised a lot of people. But he did taste a small piece of this fruitcake in 2003. It is important. Bread is one of the most difficult things to store long term. It gets stale very quickly. Even if it's dried out, it becomes stale rather quickly. And one of the things that the Army has had a difficult time with is one of the things that soldiers miss the most on the battlefield are sandwiches, believe it or not. That's one of the things that they miss. And so they have tried for a long time to develop sandwiches that could be eaten or stored long term. One of the problems with that is that, of course, bread gets stale, but also if you put any type of stuff on bread, that the bread absorbs the moisture or the liquids from that food item and it becomes soggy and then begins to mold. So how do you store it long term? Well, a company worked on that and they came up with this particular sandwich and it's called Battle Beauties or Battle Buddies. I'm not sure how. That's the actual spelling of the name. It's hard to figure out how it was pronounced. But these sandwiches will last 2 years. And people that military people that have eaten them say that they're pretty good even after 2 years. I personally have no desire to try, but I'm real happy with my peanut butter and sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm fine with that. One of the foods that you can store for a long time on your counter, if it's in a cool area, are farm fresh eggs. Now, do not try this with store bought eggs. There's a reason. But if you get farm fresh eggs, they can last on a counter in a cool, darker area for up to 5 weeks without any problem whatsoever. If you buy store bought eggs, they can last in your refrigerator for up to 5 weeks without any problems whatsoever. The reason why you can't use store-bought eggs is the United States Food and Drug Department requires all eggs to be washed before they're sold in supermarkets. When they wash them, they remove that protective coating that is natural to eggs when they are first laid. So do not try that with store-bought eggs, setting them on your counter and leaving them for 5 weeks. That won't be a good experience for you at all, okay? But if you buy them directly from the farm, there is no reason. In Europe, they do that all the time because they don't have that requirement in Europe that we have in the United States. But that, just to let you know, if you want to store eggs for up to 2 years, there is a method to store them unrefrigerated for up to 2 years. It's called water glassing, and I recommend you look it up on the internet. It's still done by certain people that are really into homesteading, but it was used since the 1700s as a method to store eggs for up to 2 years without refrigeration. So they can be stored for quite a long time without refrigeration. The other things that can last for a long time are frozen meats. That may surprise you. But people in the Arctic regions of the world have dug up mammoths from the permafrost that were thousands of years old, and they have cut them up and stuck them on the Barbie, and they've eaten them, so without any ill effects. So meat can last quite a long time frozen. Of course, dried foods can also last for a long time. In Psalm 19, it tells us about the law of the Lord is perfect. It cleanses us. There is a need for us to be preserved, to be changed, to be remolded on the inside of our lives. These things that God puts in our lives gives us the ability to be preserved and strengthened throughout life, and we need that desperately. We need that provision and blessing and change that God brings in our lives. This is an interesting food that I ran across that is preserved. It was originally a survival food. It's called kavayak, I believe. It's an Inuit word. And to be frankly honest with you, I am giving you my best guess on how it's pronounced. It was originally a survival food, but has now become an ethnic food of the Inuit people, primarily of Greenland. This man is actually eating some of that. Let me tell you how it is made. They take a seal skin, a fresh seal skin, and they take and stuff it with 300 ox. Ox are little tiny ducks that live in the Arctic region. There's only one variety of them in the world, and they live in the Arctic region, and they're little tiny ducks. They can stuff up to 300 of these little critters inside of a seal skin. They do not clean them. They do not remove the feathers. They don't remove anything. They just stuff them inside of the seal skin. And then they sew the seal skin, well, they press all the air out of it and sew the seal skin shut, okay? And then they lather it up with seal blubber or tallow. And then they hide it underneath of rocks and literally cover it with heavy rocks so that polar bears and other animals can't get to it. And then they allow it to ferment for 3 months. It is considered a delicacy among their people and is served at special occasions, like weddings and other things. I think I'm going to pass on that one. But it is considered a delicacy among the Inuit people. It was originally, as I mentioned, a survival food. But people that have tasted it tell you that it is definitely an acquired taste. But probably not a whole lot different than lutefisk, folks. So, because I know lutefisk was originally a survival food as well. I have a friend whose wife is in food service, and she cleaned out the refrigerator religiously. She would remove anything that was out of date or had been kept just a few days. He, on the other hand, would get into arguments with her about cleaning out the refrigerator because, well, he was a little close with the money, and we still eat that. And so it was fun to watch them get into it about, and it was always good-natured. They would get into it about taking things out of the refrigerator. But many times, dates that are put on items are suggestions, and other times they're real serious, and you need to be careful about that, on the dates on things. Sometimes we hold on to things that they may seem harmless, but really we can get food poisoning from them. And do you know that's true spiritually? Did you know that's true spiritually? That we can hold on to some things in our lives that can give us food poisoning, spiritual food poisoning, can do real serious damage in our lives. Terry and I, and we've had a discussion already about this. I believe it was more than 1 year after our wedding, but she says it was only 1 year after our wedding. But we saved the top of our wedding cake, and we put it in the freezer, and we were going to relive this glorious moment of our wedding 1 year later. And this would bring about such wonderful memories. And boy, was it awful. It was absolutely terrible. It definitely was not reliving the experience. Memories are something that we need to have in our lives. But if those memories have been shoved into the back of the refrigerator of our hearts or our minds, and they are no longer connected with reality, no longer connected with the real things of life, they become stale. And when we try to relive that memory, all we get is something very stale and out of touch. Our relationship, if my relationship with my wife depended on the memory of that wedding cake, it would be a disaster, wouldn't it? And if your relationship with Christ depends on a memory in the past, it's just as bad. It's just as bad. It's just as profoundly difficult. Dynamic relationships require that we transform. The Apostle Paul said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here's how you should use your refrigerator.
It is important to note that not all areas of the refrigerator are created equal, and everything has its place. The refrigerator door is the warmest part of your refrigerator, so it's best to keep it to condiments, juices, and other foods that can take the changes in temperature only. The temperature at the upper shelves is the most consistent, and it's a great place to keep foods that don't need to be cooked. Hummus, drinks, leftovers, yogurt, and lunch meats are perfect examples. The lower shelves of your refrigerator are the coldest, making it the ideal place to store raw meat, eggs, seafood, and other dairy. It's also where you want to keep any raw ingredients. The drawers are set up to store produce and keep it moist, so that's where you'll want to store it. If you can, keep your veggies in one drawer and fruit in another. All refrigerators are not created equal, so this is only a guideline. Refrigerators should be kept at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or lower. You might discover that the coldest part of your refrigerator is the top shelf. Adjust your strategy accordingly.
Refrigerators are a wonderful invention. The first refrigeration system goes back into the mid-1700s, believe it or not. It was not very effective because it was extremely expensive to do. By the mid-1800s, they were developing ice-making machines by the mid-1850s. And many of them were successful and purchased by large meatpacking plants to cool their slaughterhouses for the preservation of meat by the mid-1850s. Later came the idea of, why can't we have refrigerators in the home? Well, there was a lot of experimentation, and finally in 1927, the first refrigerator for home use was developed by GE. It was called the Monitor Top. It was called that because of the Monitor boat that had that kind of a turret on the top of it during the Civil War. That's how it got its name. But the Monitor refrigerator was introduced in 1927. It was the first commercially successful home refrigerator. It cost as much as a car. So that would take a chunk out of your pocket, wouldn't it? That particular refrigerator was very hot, and in your kitchen, it was almost unbearable. In addition to that, the refrigerants they used, there were two different refrigerants could be used. Both of them were extremely dangerous. One, if the lines ruptured, you could lose your eyesight if you were close to the refrigerator. Sulfur dioxide. The other was a type of highly explosive alcohol that if the lines ruptured and there was a spark in the room, guess what happened? Not a good experience. So needless to say, refrigerators were for the wealthy and the adventurous in the 1920s. However, in the 1930s, they developed the first major breakthrough to allow refrigeration in the home safely. It was the development of Freon number 12, which remained in use until the 1980s in devices. And during the 1930s, refrigerators became popular in most people's homes. It was just that big of a change in our culture. We hold on to a lot of things that we should not hold on to. Not long ago, Terry and I were kind of cleaning out the refrigerator here in the church, and we found butter, some butter, that was stuck down in the bottom of one of the drawers. And when we pulled it out, we noticed that it had mold all inside the wrapper. And we said, do you think we can scrape this off? No. There are a lot of things we hold on to in life, aren't there, that we shouldn't. A lot of things we hold on to and want to hold on to. By the way, butter doesn't last that long in my house. So there are some things that we hold on to because we believe that we can make use of them later. Some things we hold on to because they're really not all that bad. We can just scrape it off and it'll be fine. Sometimes it's a memory like an old wedding cake that we hold on to from year to year. Sometimes it's a hope or a fail-safe that we cannot bear to give up. And sometimes it's because we just don't trust God enough. And so we hold on to it. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul tells us that within our heart, we struggle with all kinds of things. And really, we're talking about this refrigerator. We're talking about our heart, aren't we? We're talking about what's going on inside of us. And he tells us that we have a great struggle going on inside of us as individuals. One of the most powerful sermons I have ever read was written in 1954. It was written by this particular gentleman. His name is Robert Boyd Munger. He was a Presbyterian minister in California, and he also was a professor in seminaries. He wrote this particular sermon, and many of you may have read it, My Heart, Christ's Home. How many of you have read that? I read it when I was a teenager. And it really had a dramatic impact on me. If you are interested in reading it, it is available online. There are several different sources for it. It's very easy to get a hold of, and I encourage you to take time to look at it. It's an excellent sermon. He writes about the idea or uses the concept of our lives or our hearts, the metaphor of a home for our hearts. And he talks about his own salvation experience, or the narrator talks about his salvation experience where he invites Christ into his home, into his heart. And slowly Christ goes through the different rooms of his home and demands that he be made Lord of those different rooms. And in the process, he has to give up control in certain areas. In other areas, he has to give up what he wants to do. He has to give up certain things as Christ becomes Lord of those different rooms in his heart. The final part of the sermon comes to the place where he gives his entire home. He signs over the deed to Christ and becomes simply a servant who lives in the home. But before that event can come, there is one room that he must open to Christ, and he does not want to. He arrives home, and he is met at the door by Christ, who says, "Something here stinks. Something is dead." And he says, "I knew what it was." He says, "I think it's upstairs where the bedrooms are." And so he goes with Christ upstairs in his house. And Christ stands in front of a locked closet. And he says, "Something in there is dead. And it needs to be cleaned out." And he says, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't open that door. I can't do that. I can't clean that out." And he says, "There were things in there that I was ashamed of, things that I wanted to hold on to, things that I knew I shouldn't hold on to, that I didn't want to give up." And Jesus said, okay, I'll go out and sleep on the porch because I can't stay in here with this smell. And finally, he says, I wanted Jesus so much in my home that I said to him, I can't clean it out. Would you clean it out? And Jesus simply said, give me the key. And he says, Jesus took the key, opened the closet, and cleaned it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Much of what clutters our refrigerator is stuff that we hold on to in hopes that it will one day be useful. Some items, like condiments and pickles, merely flavor our food, and they don't really spoil. They just kind of sit there on the shelf. And our tastes, it's sort of like the tastes and the opinions and thinking that we have, that they change from time to time. We pick up a new hot sauce or a new condiment and we change it. So the music we like, the translation of the Bible we like, those things really change with our whims and aren't really that important or destructive. But there are other things like meat that needs to be eaten fairly quickly or frozen. There's prepared food that needs to be eaten pretty quickly. Other things like dairy and eggs can last weeks in the refrigeration. But if they're all beyond their shelf life, they can make us sick. Paul says we need to purge those things from our life. Purge the old yeast from the life that is within us. I have been guilty of attempting to cook. I like to try out unusual recipes. Some of you have experienced that. My problem is that I often fail at these, and because very often the ingredients are expensive, I try and keep these failures in the refrigerator because, well, I should eat them. Even though realistically I know I'm not going to eat them and no one else is going to eat them. I don't want to throw them out because I don't want to admit failure. Right? And that is a problem in our lives. Some of the things we don't throw out are because we don't want to admit failure. We don't want to admit what we have done. Terry likes to keep fruit long past the point where it's no longer good. I am not sure why, but when it turns fuzzy, I throw it out. We both are bad about leaving cheese in the cold cut drawer until it turns white and blue and green. And then finally out it goes. And often an old hot dish will show up weeks later in the back of our fridge in a mislabeled food tub. One of the biggest struggles that Terry and I have over our refrigerator is my fishing. I will put a tub of worms or leeches in the fridge because I'm going fishing the next day. And I will get a very stern lecture from Terry about the real purpose of the fridge. and it is not keeping bait. The things that we hold in the fridge of our lives are past failures, the fruits that make us feel better because they are there, though unused and spoiling, the experiences that we wish to recreate but have spoiled because they cannot be repeated, the ideas that need to be jettisoned because they were helpful at an earlier stage of our spiritual growth but have not grown in meaning in the purpose of Scripture. And sometimes we introduce into our lives sins that are completely incompatible with the purpose God called us to. That's why we need to clean out the refrigerator of our hearts. And we need to do it periodically. We need to examine those areas of our hearts. Paul tells us that we need to clean out this spiritual fridge, that we can't hold on to our failures, our sins, our memories, or our habits if they are destructive to our Christian experience. It's National Clean Out Your Fridge Day. I want Christ to open that closet. I want him to dig all that out. I don't want him to repaint it. And I want him to live in me. So I need sometimes to clean out my refrigerator so that he can feel comfortable living in me. Would you stand with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, come and make your home in each of us. Lord, there are all kinds of things in every one of our lives that have gotten out of date or have become, well, they've just been in there so long they've become moldy and are dangerous to us spiritually, and we need your help. And then, Father, sometimes we stick things in there that are just really destructive, and we know they are, but they're not your will and your purpose, but we just want them anyway. And we need you to clean out the refrigerator. God, dwell in me. Dwell in me. Dwell in me. Praise be your name forever and ever.